I'm here to welcome you to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bible this time if you want to be a student in this class, and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22. And we're in the midst of a study of Paul the Apostle. And I'll be reading from Acts 22 and then commenting with the notes that we have from E.A. Elam from a Sunday school lesson he wrote for September the 2nd, 1923. Now, while you're turning to Acts chapter 22, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you the text that we're beginning with in the study of this lesson, Acts chapter 22, verses 3 through 10, where Paul, from the steps overlooking the temple, says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, instructed according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, even as ye all are this day. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and drew nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me beheld indeed the light, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. This is an appearance of Christ to Saul. It came to him as a great light shining from heaven. Did you know that there was a time when Christ appeared to another one of his apostles? Saul was not his apostle at this time, but Christ did appear to the apostle John in the book of Revelation. Let me read to you about that appearance. It's a very dramatic appearance. And of course, this is in the midst of apocalyptic literature, meaning that it is a very figurative type of literature. But it tells us something about the power of the resurrected and exalted Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 18. John writes, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breast with a golden girdle. And his hair were as white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. I want you to notice there in John's account that his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And it was in a very similar way that Jesus appeared to Saul on that road to Damascus. Now, under that intense light, Saul fell to the ground, smitten with blindness and filled with awe. Those with him saw the light, and they were afraid, and also fell to the ground. Then Saul heard a voice in the Hebrew language, Acts 26:14. The Lord spoke to him in plain words which could not be misunderstood. Those with him heard the sound of his voice, but they did not understand the words that were spoken. We frequently say we do not hear a person when we hear the voice and do not understand the words that are being spoken. But the voice said to Saul, "Why persecutest thou me?" Interesting how the voice said, "You are persecuting me." You see, Saul was persecuting the church of Christ, not Christ directly. But Jesus takes that personal when people persecute his people. And so he said, "Why persecutest thou me?" To persecute his disciples was to persecute Jesus. If Saul strikes the disciples in Damascus, Christ feels the blow in heaven, it has been said. As we now treat the humblest and poorest of Jesus' disciples, so treat we him. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 46, when people neglected the least of these, his brethren, he said, "They have neglected me." And when they have assisted the least of these, his brethren, he says, "They have assisted me." So much does Jesus identify with his church. Some people think the church is not important, but they don't understand Jesus. It's clear that the church of Christ is important to Christ. Saul recognized that it was God speaking, and he did not therefore know what person he appeared unto him. He asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And he said, "I am the Christ," or "I am the Messiah," Saul might not have so readily seen that he was Jesus of Nazareth, for the Jews expected the Messiah. But when he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth," Saul at once saw that the despised Nazarene was indeed the Christ. Before this, he thought he was persecuting an impostor and was serving God in so doing. At once, Saul understood that in persecuting the disciples of Jesus, he was persecuting the Lord. And the words say, "It is hard for thee to kick against the goad." In the King James Version, it is said, "It is hard to kick against the pricks." Goads or pricks were long pointed sticks used to urge oxen along. And when they would kick back against these, they would hurt themselves more. So Saul was hurting himself the more by persecuting Jesus. Jesus appeared to Paul for the following purpose. Jesus said, "Arise, stand on thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of the things wherewith thou hast seen me and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee." Acts 26:16. You see, Paul was to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And to be an apostle, he must be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. Paul could not have become a Christian. Paul could have become a Christian without seeing Jesus, but he could not have become a witness, and hence he could not have become an apostle. And Paul later uses this as evidence of his apostleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Am I not free? And am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, yet at least I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord." Those who accompanied Saul must have been soldiers or guards who would assist in arresting Christians and conducting them bound to Jerusalem. They saw the light, but not the Lord. They were afraid and fell to the earth, and they heard the sound of the voice, but they did not understand the words, and they stood speechless. They were not so much affected as was Paul, and arose before he did. Paul asked the question, "What shall I do, Lord?" To answer this question, the Lord said, "Arise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And it also says, "I'll show thee all things that are appointed for thee to do." God appointed these things, and they must be done. They cannot now be treated in a light manner. Why did not Jesus tell him then and there what he must do to be saved? Preaching the gospel and telling people what to do to be saved has been committed to the Lord's ambassadors. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 through 20, "But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." You see, that was great authority given to those apostles, like the authority of an ambassador to another country. And so also from those words that the apostles recorded that they spake for us and that they recorded for us in the scriptures, we use that gospel to appeal to others, to them to be reconciled unto God. This is given unto men. It is not angels that preach the gospel into all the world. It is men whom God wants going into all the world preaching the gospel. And since his ascension and the announcement of the Great Commission, Jesus never told one directly what to do to be saved, but always sent to him a preacher of the gospel. The case of the eunuch and of Cornelius, as well as this one, are illustrations of this. Let us consider further the facts of Paul's obedience to the Lord. Did you know that that is given in three accounts? Acts 9, 1 through 22, Acts 22, 3 through 21, and Acts 26, 12 through 23. It is by pulling all three of these accounts together that we get the complete story of the conversion of Paul. When Saul arose from the ground, he unclosed his eyelids, which he had closed to protect his eyes from the intense light, and he discovered that he was blind and must be led by others. In obedience to Jesus, Saul went to Damascus, being led by another. He was so anxious and deeply concerned that he neither ate nor drank for 3 days, and this period was spent in sorrow and constant prayer. During this time, he saw a vision of Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias dwelt in Damascus. He was a devout man according to the law, well reported of by all the Jews that dwelled there. He had become a Christian. The Lord appeared unto him in a vision and commanded him to go to Paul, stating that he was on Straight Street in the house of one named Judas. Now that is not Judas the apostle, for he was already dead and hung himself. This is another Judas we read about who is living in Damascus. And in evidence of Paul's sincerity and earnestness, the Lord said, "For behold, he prayeth." Paul's terrible record in the news that he had come to Damascus with letters of authority to bind all who call upon the name of Jesus caused Ananias to fear. The news of Paul's mission had preceded him.